Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Pei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Pei. We begin with a Dibur HaMaschil from the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer Loki Elosris Chamocholetz. This is, of course, a quote from the Mishnah that we had on our previous Amid. You might notice on Daf Ayin Tes Amid Beis, the diamond names Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, whereas Rabbi Akiva said that a Sris Odom is Choletz. The opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is the opposite, that a Sris Chamo is Choletz, and the Mishnah presented their respective reasons. Of course, the Sris Chamo is someone who is born, a male who is born in this state where he doesn't mature properly and he's incapable of procreation as a healthy male would ordinarily be. The Gemara will elaborate on how you can identify a Soros as we go on in the Sukkis. So we have on the side a Nosei Mivne heading where we have a, you will see shortly, a double underline is featured later in the Gemara. And this represents Yishuvim. These are resolutions, Listira, to what appears to be a contradiction, Beshitas Rabbi Eliezer, within the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, Besris Chamo, Im Hu Choletz. A Sris Chamo, someone who is born as a Soros, does he do Chalitza? Chalitza, of course, is the situation where his brother had died, leaving no children, and he is the surviving brother. Does he do Chalitza, or is he simply totally exempt? The Gemara. Viraminu. We now raise a stira, a contradiction. Ben Esrim Shonov Lohevi Shte Cyrus, a person, a man who is 20 years old and has not produced the two hairs that identify someone as having reached adulthood, the two pubic hairs. Yoviu Raya Shuhu Ben Esrim, proof shall be brought that he is 20 years old. The Hu Hasoris. Now this expression, Vuhu Hasoris, Rashi adds, very importantly, Rashi said, you'll see a few lines down from here, Klomar Vinoldu Bo Simone Soris. In addition to his not having produced the pubic hairs and has reached age 20, he also has other signs that he is a Soris. And that source does not elaborate on those other signs, but let's take that as a given that there are other signs. The Gemara later will discuss that. And thusly it is explained in Maseches Nida in that particular chapter called Yotzei Dofen, the E Lo Nodlo Simoni Soris. If those special physical signs of Srisus have not appeared, Amrinon, Haidelo Maisi, we say that which he hasn't produced, the pubic hairs, Mishum Katnasu, it's because of his being legally considered a minor. Umachsikinun Lake Kikotn Adroiv Shnoisav, and legally speaking, he is viewed as a minor until he passes the majority of his life. Majority of life, we say, based on the Pasuk Yemeshon Yisenu Bohem Shivim Shana, that a person's life is, the expected life is 70 years, so Rov, the majority of that would be passing his 35th year. So, if a person has not produced the pubic hairs and likewise has not shown signs, the Soris signs, he's viewed as a minor until 35. We continue in the Tanaic source. It reads as follows. We say that if he's reached 20 and he's produced the signs of Sresis and has not produced the pubic hairs, lo choylets v'lo miyabem, he doesn't participate in the chalitza ceremony, that which releases the sister-in-law to marry whomever she wants, nor does he do yibum. Bas Esrim Velo Heviyoshte Sars. Now we go to the female side of thing, a girl of 20 that hasn't produced the pubic hair. Yoviu Rayashi Bas Esrim, if they bring proof that she is 20 years old, Vihiha Ailinis, and she is what we refer to as the Ailinis. The Ailinis is an expression referring to a woman who doesn't mature normally and is hence incapable of procreation. Lo choletzis velo misyabemes divrei Beis Hillel. Everything we've said till now is in the name of Beis Hillel. When we say everything, the information plus the ages. Ubei Shammai omrim zevzev bnei shmona esrei. Beis Shammai disagrees and says that male and female is determined already at age 18. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and here is where we become interested, because Rabbi Eliezer is the shita, the opinion that we're focusing on in our discussion. He says, Hazochor kedivrei Beis Hillel, that means 20-year-old man, and Unekeval kedivrei Beis Shammai, and the female at 18. Why is the female established at an earlier age? In general, a woman matures, reaches adulthood, or matures, progresses more rapidly than a man. Now, what we see from here, if when reading Rebbe Lezer in the context of this source, he's basically saying that a sris chamo does not do chalitza. And that you can see in Rashi, Hazocher Kedivri Beis Hillel, Almo Rebbe Eliezer. You see from here, according to Rebbe Eliezer, Sris Chamo Lo Cholitz. We're working with the with a given that this source is describing a Sris Chamo, someone who was born that way, not as a function of some type of injury, but he's rather born that way. So our job now is simply to resolve this seeming contradiction. Whereas in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer says that a sris chamo is choletz, here we have Rabbi Lezer on record as saying that a sris chamo is not choletz. Omar Romi Bar Dikuli, Omar Shmuel, Chozar Bo Rabbi Eliezer. So the first resolution is simply to say that Rabbi Lezer had changed his mind. So that it's not that we have a contradiction in sources, but we have an earlier opinion and then a change of opinion. So now the question is, which was his original position that he changed from? Toshma. So we're going to bring a Tanaic source that matches our Mishnah. Desanyo, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Sris Chamo Choyletz, V'choltzim Li'ishtoi. A Sris Chamo, if he is the surviving brother, he will do Chalitza with the sister-in-law. And if he dies, so then the whatever surviving brothers there are will do Chalitza. One of them will do Chalitza with his widow. And you'll ask, well, why is a Sris Chamo considered eligible for the rules of Chalitza? Shekein b'minon misrapin b'alexandria shel Mitzrayim. We find people who are Sris Chamo can actually be healed from that in the city of Alexandria in Egypt. So now this is an additional Tanaic source that matches the Mishnah. And Rashi in Dibor Masel Toshma, he says, well, we have this brisa like the Mishnah, but now as a result, we have two sources saying Sris Chamo is Choletz, and one source that indicates, according to Rebbe Lezer, that he's not Choletz. So two against one, we opt for this approach, the approach like the Mishnah. The next answer, Rabbi Lozar Omer, don't confuse the names here, this is an Amora, Rabbi Lozar, he explains, Le'olam lo hodar bay, there is no change in opinions, no change of mind, V'chit nanahi, the source in which we saw Rabbi Lozar saying, Hazocher kedivrei Beis Hillel, is Le'oinshim, it's regarding at what age one becomes subject to punishment. We'll take a look at Rashi. V'chitnanahi, Hazocher kedivrei Beis Hillel. the appearance of Reb Elazar in that longer Tanaic source, in which he says that the male is treated like Beis Hillel, Lav Amai Di Amri, it's not a reference to that which was stated earlier in that source that said Lo Choleitz, that the Sris Chama doesn't do Chalitz, because Reb Elazar holds that he does. Ela Lashmi'inen the Ashiyei Ben Esrim, the appearance of Reb Elazar in that particular source is to tell me a second point, a side point, if you will, that until age 20, chashvinon le koton im lo hevi. That until age 20, if you're dealing with a man that has not produced the pubic hairs, so until age 20, he is viewed halachically as a minor. The umikan ve'ele chamrinon godolhu im lo hevi, elishu soris. Beyond age 20, though he does not have the pubic hairs, Halacha views him as an adult, v'chayov ba'inshin shebetorah, and even though he's a man that has no, that doesn't showed forth the pubic hairs, he nevertheless is considered an adult. Whereas it's maybe obvious to all of our listeners, an adult in Jewish law, generally speaking, is at age 13 and a day, assuming there are pubic hairs. But in the case of the individual doesn't produce those pubic hairs, he's not considered an adult until age 20. And adulthood incorporates within it the obligation or that being subject to punishment. Let's continue in the Gemara. Itmar, Ochal Chalef, and maybe before we actually read the Gemara, we glance at the side. The Nosei, the topic heading, reads, Hevi Simone Soris, a person showed signs of being a Soris, V'acharkach Hevi Shtei Soris, and afterwards then produced the pubic hairs. Nafkamina, Le'ochal Chalef, Miben Yud Beis Ad Ben Yun Ches. The ages that we're going to be dealing with, so that they shouldn't be confusing the. Even though sometimes it appears we're dealing with a male, when you see age 12 mentioned, you know that you're dealing with a female. So, but the same would apply over to a male, just adjusting the age by adding a year to the starting point. So now we have a case where someone had, our introduction basically says that you have someone who appeared to be a Soris and then later produced the pubic hairs. What does this show us retroactively? And imagine a case where during time between age 12 and age 18, where we thought she was a minor because she hadn't produced the pubic hairs, she had eaten chalev. Chalev is forbidden sections of a kosher animal, though if the chalev sections are forbidden, and one who would eat chalev unwittingly would have to bring a sacrifice, a korban chatas. That's a sin offering. So itmar, ochal chalev mi ben shteim esrei v'yoyim echod ad ben shmoin esrei. And as Rashi says, we're dealing with a little girl who after age 12, before age 18, and this is within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer above that said that when you come dealing with a Nekeva, we follow Beis Shammai standard, the 18-year-old standard. So she, during those years, she had eaten some chalev, v'noldu bo simone soris, and then there appeared the signs of srisus, so that at age 18, we can establish that they are an adult. Only at age 18, not before. Le'achar mikan hevi shtei Cyrus, and afterwards, two pubic hairs appeared. Rav Omar nases soris lemafreya. Rav says that this individual becomes retroactively a soris. In other words, what do we mean retroactively? That means that from age 12. Rav is going to consider them an adult. If we take a look at the Rashi, on the second wide line under the Gemara text, he opens up making the point that even though we're speaking in masculine grammar, here we are dealing with a little girl. Aidi Dairi Beloshen Zohar Kotoni Soris Kevon She'ovra Shmoin Esrei Kuvur Belazar v'lo hevi, afalpi shechozer behevi, since they passed age 18 and did not produce prior to that the pubic hairs, afalpi shechozer behevi, even though they produced the hairs afterwards, after 18, eino klum, it's not considered of any significance. The loy amrino, now note, we have a phrase marking in the Rashi. All of this is what we do not say. We do not say kevon dehashta icy igloy milsa the ad hashta koton have, that since they brought forth the pubic hairs now, up till now they were a minor. The besiris talia milsa, everything is dependent on the hairs. So we don't say that. Ela besoris machzikinon lei. Rather, we view them as a soris and not a minor. Let's make sure that we have these terms down. These are halachic terms. A minor would be someone who is exempt from punishments and sacrificial obligations, and a soris is an adult that is obligated in punishment or is subject to punishment and obligated in sacrifices if need be. So elo besoris machzikinon leu v'chashvinon le bas oinchin mishneim osor v'eilech. And as a result of what we described, she is considered retroactively an adult from age 12, the age at which she was fit to bring to, we would have expected normally, the two pubic hairs to appear. Domar haidelo icy mishum desoris havi. And we explain, why didn't she produce the hairs at 12? Because she was a soris. V'hadisanya lekamon, that which is appears later in the Tanaic source, which reads da'afilu hevi liachar mikan harehu kesoris lechol dvorav. That expression means lemafreyahu dekoomar u'mishneimosor havi gedola v'soris havi. So we're seeing in the Rashi a clear explanation of this opinion, the opinion of Rav, that there is a retroactive adulthood back to age 12. Let us contrast this situation with the, we'll call it the regular Soros situation, and that is that there was no pubic hairs for the girl up till age 18, they show signs, the Soros signs appear. Only at that age do they become categorized as an adult. And that, in fact, is what Shmuel says. Shmuel Omar, Koton Hoya Ba'oise Shah. And she is not considered a Gedola, an adult, retroactively, rather from age 18 onwards. We continue. Maskif Law Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef raises a question. According to Rav's approach, that there is retroactive adulthood from age 12. So Rav Yosef asks, Le Rav, according to the opinion of Rav, notice we have a colon after Rav Yosef, because don't read the Gemara as Maskif Law Rav Yosef Le Rav, that Rav Yosef asked Rav, because Rav Yosef lived quite a while after Rav, but he asks according to the opinion of Rav. Le Rav, Ailinus Le Rebbe Meir Yehe Lo Knas. Now there's one, a short piece of Gemara, just a couple words, but it entails a knowledge of an entire sugya beforehand. The best way to approach this is simply to go right to the Rashi to give us all the background in order to appreciate this question. So we continue with the Rashi in the middle of the wide lines. Eilinis the Rebbe Meir, Yehe lo knas. Knas is a fine for a girl that is raped. And the halacha concerning a girl that is raped applies basically, according to the opinion of Rebbe Meir, to a girl who's raped between ages 12 and 12 and a half, assuming that she is a virgin. Eilinis Rebbe Meir lo knas, chamishim kesef, 50 pieces of silver, that's the fine instituted by the Torah. Aloma tanya b'maseches ksubis. Why then, if this is correct, that there is retroactive adulthood Why then does it say in the Tanaic source in Maseches Ksubas, Eilinus ein law, lo knas velo pitui? There is no fine, the knas, the rape fine, nor the seduction fine. But Eilinars, Eilinars is the name of the third parak of Maseches Ksubas. Umukmina lo karebi meir, and we say that that Tanaic source that says ein law knas is according to the Tana Rabbi Meir, domar Tana ein law knas. He says, as opposed to the Rabbanon, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that a minor girl who is raped, a child who is raped, there is no knas payment. The Torah demands the knas payment only when a na'ara, na'ara is a girl from 12 to 12 and a half, who is a virgin that happened to be raped. For Eilinus, Hoyel V'ein law, Cyrus, K'tanahi, Bayomim, Shoysa, Ruyo, Linaris. And an Eilinus, since she doesn't produce the pubic hairs, she remains a minor during those days that she, if she was normal, would have been considered a na'ara. Na'ara is that next halachic age bracket beyond the minor. But we explain that according to Rabbi Meir, there is no knas because, first of all, a ktana doesn't have a knas and an eilinus. Since she doesn't have Cyrus, she's a ktana in those days. And we do not say, again, we have a long phrase marking, all of this we do not say. We don't say, since she passed age 18 and didn't produce the hairs, she becomes an adult retroactively, to require a fine payment, the 50 kesef payment, 50 pieces of silver to be paid by he who had raped her after age 12. So now we're saying, we go back to the Gemara, let's read that line again. Rav Yosef's question is, according to Rav, that there is retroactive adulthood, Eilinus l'Rebbe Meir Yehelo Knas. Then the Eilinus, according to Rebbe Meir, should necessitate a knas payment, an Eilinus who, this girl who was raped at age 12. When she reaches age 18, and after that she produces the two pubic hairs, then there is a situation of an Eilinus requiring a knas payment. So why was it said so categorically that according to Rabbi Meir and Eilinus there is never any knas? Omar Le Abaye. Abaye answers Rav Yosef's question. Mikatnuso yotzso lebeger. Beger is the basic word that we, the basis of the word bagrus. Bagrus maybe is more common to some of you. There's narus and bagrus. Bagrus is age 12 and a half and up. In terms of Torah payment requirements, in the case of rape, beyond age 12 and a half, there is no fine payment. There are other payments that must be made, but as far as the fine of 50 kesef, that is not paid for a girl who is a bogeris. So according to Rav, what happens when she passes 18, having produced signs of being an Eilinus and then producing the pubic hairs, which Rav will tell you retroactively she becomes a gedola back to age 12, but what happens with her, she goes from the state of being a minor of katnus to becoming a bogeris. So on those technical grounds, even though there is retroactive adulthood, but technically she doesn't experience the halachic category of being a na'ara. And that's why there is no knas. Omar Leh, Rav Yosef, upon hearing Abaye's explanation, he says, Kol kihani milim al yisa yisamru mi shamoi. All wonderful things like this, it should only be that it's said in my name. And the Sanya, and then he brings the Gemara, it brings a Tanaic source, or Rabbi Yosef himself quotes a Tanaic source that bears this out. It says, "Ein asoris nidon keben so more." A soris will not be judged in the Torah as the rebellious son. The ben sor mora is the parsha in the Torah referring to a son who steals money from his parents and buys meat and wine, etc. It's an entire topic unto itself. But this, and of course, that child is stoned as a result of his behavior. The asoris, though, cannot be judged as a ben somor. Lefisha ein ben somora nidon elo b'chasima zokon hatachton. A ben somora is judged as such only if he has this physical sign of having hairs around his, what's called here the lower beard. That's a type of euphemism. It's hairs around the male organ. The ein eilinis nidonis kinam rasa. And likewise, an islandist cannot be judged as a Nara Hamurasa. Nara Hamurasa is, in English, is translated as the betrothed maiden. But it's a girl who, after age 12, received money of marriage money to marry some man. And one who has some outsider who has relations with her at that point, intimacy with her, is going to be, they'll be Chayav Skila, stoning. So that category of Nara Hamurasa is inapplicable to an eilinus. Shemi katnusa yotsusa lebeger. Now we dashed underline. That's the main point. Because an eilinus goes from the state of minor immediately to the state of bogeris. And she doesn't experience the interim age halachic category known as na'arus. Omar Rebbe Avo, Simone Soris Va'ilinis Uben Shmoina Ein Oisin Bohem Maisa Achu Ben Esrim. We'll take a look at Rashi. Simone Soris Va'ilinis Ein Oisin Bohem Maisa Lachzikam Begedoilim. We're looking at Rashi three lines from the bottom. The signs of Soris and Ilinis, though they appear, we don't do anything about it. In other words, to consider them gedolim, that's lahachzikam begedolim, to categorize them as adult, usrisim, adults who are soris or eilinis, ad shu b'nei esrim velo heviu, assuming only, we do not consider them as adults until they've reached age 20 and haven't produced any pubic hairs. From age 12 by a girl until age 20, we look with expectation. If they produce the pubic hairs, then they are viewed as minor until they produce those hairs. And if by age 20 they don't produce those pubic hairs, gedolim heim, they're then considered gedolim, adult. Uben Shmoina, we continue in the Rashi. Shenolad l'shmoina chadoshim. Here is an infant that's born after only 8 months of pregnancy. Ein oisin boi maisel achziku keben kayoma. An 8 month pregnancy is generally, in terms of halacha, we view as an insufficient time of producing a healthy living person, and therefore we don't consider him a ben kayoma. Bishvil simonim klom afal pisha gomru simonim sairo v'tziponov kishenolad. Even though as an infant he emerges with fingernails and with hair, afilu hachi lo amrinon bar kayomu, we nevertheless do not say that he is going to live vadai with certainty ad shiye ben esrim shana, until he reaches age 20. So now we continue in the Gemara with a question. Second line from the bottom, the Gemara asks, "Uben shmoina mi kochayet? Does an 8 month pregnancy live?" Here we're describing an 8 month pregnancy reaching where we don't consider them a ben kayoma. By the way, this concept of considering someone a ben kayoma has halachic ramifications. Possibly in the realm of murder. If a person kills an individual that is not considered someone capable of living, so the halacha will view that kind of murder victim or the perpetrator in a different light than if he killed a regular, living, healthy person. We're just touching the tip of an iceberg, but we're just suggesting that that's a nafkamina when you say someone is a ben kayoma versus being considered a nafel. A nafel is someone who wouldn't live. So here we have someone, whether we have a question, how can you say that an 8-month pregnancy would reach age 20 when an 8-month pregnancy is an infant that's going to probably die soon after birth? V'hotanya. We have the following source, ben shmoina, that means an 8-month pregnancy that is then born. Harehu ke'evan. He is considered like a stone. And here we're talking in terms of Hilchus Shabbos. Stones is the archetype of something that you cannot move because it's the ultimate form of muktzah when it comes to Shabbos. So an 8-month pregnancy is considered like a stone, something of no use. The osur letatalon, you cannot move that infant around on Shabbos. This is considered as good as dead. Avol imoi sheicholov uminikosov. Now, if you can't move the child, what about the mother? The mother starts to lactate and produces milk, mother's milk. She can bend over without moving the child, and the child can suckle from her. That's uminikoso, and nurse the child. They have sakona because of the danger to the mother. So from this source, we see that a ben shmoina, an 8-month pregnancy, is considered as if he's not there, as if he's dead already. So how does this how is this to be reconciled, we'll say, with Rabbi Avo's teaching that a ben shmoina can live quite a few years? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskin, on this source that says we view him as a stone, is Kishelo Gomru Simonov, where when it was born, it did not show any signs. It didn't have, the infant didn't have fingernails, and it had no hair. Desanya, Eze ben Shmoina, what is an 8-month pregnancy that we consider as if it's as good as dead? Kol shelo kolu loy chadoshav, a child that did not have a full term pregnancy. Rebbe Omer, simonim mochichin olav, the signs show what the situation is. Saro v'tziponov shelo gomru, hair and fingernails that haven't completed. When we say completed, like would be the case with a regular healthy infant. Taimo delo gomru, the reason that it's considered a ben shmoina with all of the ramifications of being considered a stone, etc., that's because the signs weren't complete, the fingernails and hair. Ha gomru, however, had a child been born in its 8th month, but it also had the complete signs, amrinon, we would then say, hi bar zayinhu. This is really a 7-month pregnancy. It was gestation for a full 7 months, which is considered a normal type of pregnancy. Vishtauye hu dishtoi. And in terms of its emerging in birth, that was delayed. And that's why it came out only in the 8th month. That's a function of a delay. So that in terms of pregnancies, the majority of pregnancies require a 9-month pregnancy to produce a healthy infant. There is a situation known as a 7-month pregnancy where the entire pregnancy, we'll say, is hastened, and it's whatever needs to be completed is completed after or within 7 months. A birth during the 8th month, we say, is something that is unusual. It's not just unusual, but it's a sign of it's a reason for suspecting death shortly thereafter. However, if it is born in the eighth month with the signs, with the Sairo Vitsipon of Gomru, so we say it's really a seven-month pregnancy, which we said is sufficient time to constitute a regular, full, healthy pregnancy, and it simply was delayed in emerging. And let's take a look at Rashi, Bar Shivahu, third line from the top. Ulishiva nigmorot suraso, its form was completed after 7 months. Elishnishta v'chozar v'chai, or shnishta v'chai, it's simply delayed and will live. Vashmi'in and Rabbi Avo, now Rabbi Avo, who appeared at the bottom of Oman Aleph, told us, dafilu l'Rebbe, even according to Rebbe, who said that signs show us that it's really a 7 month pregnancy, which you would say is a sign of something healthy. Lo machzikinu le bebar kayoma ad shei ben esrim. We don't consider him as a living, as a full-fledged living person, as someone who's considered healthy until he reaches age 20. So that you have, it would appear then at this point in the Gemara, you have two situations. One, an 8 month pregnancy where the signs are not complete, that already at the get go is considered a nafel, someone, a child that is not going to live, and it seems like without any doubt. Then you have this situation where it's born in the 8th month with complete signs, and yet we're not going to consider him a ben kayoma, someone who will live until it reaches age 20. And we suggested before a possible nafkamina, a halachic ramification. Let's continue in the Gemara. Elohad Avad Rava Toisfa Uvda Beisha Sheholach Bailum Yesayam Vishtoi Ad Shresar Yarchi Shasa Viachshire. The story involves Rava Toisfa Paskind as Avad Uvda, means he ruled regarding a woman whose husband went abroad and didn't come back, and 12 months since his departure, let's say 12 months after that husband's departure, this woman was a married woman. This woman gave birth to a child 1 year after her husband left. Now, how do you explain that? 1 year after the husband left, this woman produces a child. Very suspicious, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't it appear that maybe she, let's say, 3 months after her husband left, she had intimacy with some other man? This is a married woman, and the child would be a mamzer? Yet, Rava Tosfa says, no. 12 months after the husband left, she gives birth to Achshire, and that means that Rava Tosfa said the child is kosher. He's not a mamzer. Now, how could you explain that? So, Kiman, is this ruling Kerebi, the Omar Mishtoha? Is this a ruling like a singular authority, a minor opinion, a minority opinion, that of Rebbe, who says that children can be delayed in their birth? And in this case, we're saying that the child really was the product of that husband who had relations with her a year earlier. The pregnancy was completed after, we'll say, 9 months, and there was a 3 month delay in its birth. So is Rava Tosfa coming to this conclusion based on the opinion of a minority opinion? The Gemara responds, Kevon de'ika Rabbon Shimon ben Gamliel di Amar Mishtoi. Since in addition to Rebbe, there's also Rabbon Shimon ben Gamliel who acknowledges this phenomenon of delay, of birth delay, Kerabim Ovad. So Rava Tosfa's ruling is not based on a singular authority, but a ruling based on the opinion of the many, rabin. Desanya, and here we have the source where Rabban Shimon Leo alludes to this phenomenon of delay. It says, Rabban Shimon Leo Omer, Kol Shishoha Shloishim Yoim Ba'odam Eino Nefel. And that means a child, even if it didn't experience the full 9 month pregnancy, it's born before the 9 months lapse. If it lives 30 days, if the child lives 30 days, it's not considered a nafel. It's not considered a nafel. Often is translated as a miscarriage, but in halacha, it has a broader connotation, namely a child that wouldn't live. So why is that? So Rav Shmuel Leal is in effect saying that really the child was complete after 7 months. And we say a seven month pregnancy is it's a healthful, normal term pregnancy. And it simply delayed in emerging until the 8th month. And in order to establish that, we say, well, if it continues living after its birth in the 8th month for 30 days, so we say that this was a shehiya, a ishtohi, the same loshin you see here, kol sheshah, there was a delay. In this case, shah shol shem yom, it lasted 30 days. But for our purposes, the child's pregnancy was really a 7 month pregnancy, which we say is a healthful type pregnancy, and it was delayed in emerging, and hence it emerged in the 8th month. And Rabbi Shimon Leal then, in addition to Rebbe, acknowledges this phenomenon. Hence, Rova Toiswa's ruling that the child who was born after 12 months, namely it was a 3 month delay, is based on these opinions. Just that Rova Toiswa shows you how extreme that could be. A birth can be delayed even 3 months. Just as a parenthetical remark, many of us are exposed to women who complete their 9 month of pregnancy and still haven't given birth, and there's a great deal of concern and worry over their situation. Let this Gemara be at least a source of comfort, if not maybe a partial source of comfort, that there is precedent for birth delays, and they could be quite extreme, as you can see in this Gemara. But of course, Gemara markings will recommend careful medical attention and to behave according to the laws of Teva that the Almighty created. On the side, we have a topic heading, and we've been alluding to this since the beginning of today's shiur. Here we see Simone, Sris Chamo, and Ilanis, the signs, the physical signs that indicate that a person is, in fact, if it's a man, a Soris, and if a woman, an Ilanis. Now, these are the signs we alluded to before, not just that the individual has passed the expected age of adulthood, 12 for a girl, 13 for a boy, have not produced the pubic hairs. They reach age 20, even though we saw a couple of different opinions on the matter, just to keep things simple, they reach age 20, still having produced no pubic hairs. Before we can establish that they are either a Soros or an Islandist, there have to be other signs as well. And that's the topic at hand. And here we have you can also see the double underline highlighting those categories of Soris and Islandist. Tanu Rabbanan, Eizehu Sris Chamo. What is the sign of a person being a Sris Chamo? Kol Shehu Ben Esrim Velo Hevi Shtei Saris. Anyone that reaches age 20 and has not yet produced the two hairs, the two pubic hairs, v'afilu hevi lachar mikan, even if he produced them afterwards, that isn't going to make a difference. Harehu kisoris l'chol dvarav, he then is considered a soris regarding all matters. the Elu Hain Simonov, and the following are the signs. Kol She'ein Lo Zokon, anyone that doesn't produce a beard. V'sairo Lokui, and his hair is very soft. U'besoro Machlik, we're dealing again with a male, so he has besoro, his flesh is soft. It's not hairy, it's lacking hairiness, which is characteristic of a normal male. Reb Shimon Liel Omer, Mishum Reb Yehuda Ben Yoyer. Reb Shimon Liel says, in the name of Reb Yehuda Ben Yoyer, Kol She'ein Meimov Malin Resichus. A man whose urine doesn't produce heat. The Yesh Omer Kol Amatil Mayim V'ein Oise Kipo. Another opinion is that when he urinates, it doesn't come out in a stream that flows at a distance. Another opinion says anyone whose semen is liquidy like water, which is not characteristic of the normal consistency of male semen. Another opinion says anyone whose urine is not machmitzim. Rashi says masrichin kishishon bekli, that it doesn't turn foul smelling when you leave it in a vessel. In other words, that's the fact that it doesn't turn foul smelling is a sign of srisus. Achirim, I'm going to continue in the source. Achirim omrim kol sheroichetz b'moys hakshomim vein besoro ma lehevel. Anyone who in the cold season after bathing, so his flesh doesn't produce heat or some type of steam. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer, Kol Shekolu Lokui, any man who has this type of distorted voice, the Ein Nikur Bein Ish Leisha, and you cannot distinguish him vocally from a woman. The Ezui Eilinus, and what are the signs of a woman that we would categorize as an Eilinus? Kol Shehi Bas Esrim, a woman who reached age 20, V'lo Hevio Shtei Saros, and has not produced the pubic hairs. V'afilu Hevio Liachar Mikan, and even if she produces them afterwards, Harehi Ka Eilinus L'chol Vera, still, that won't change her status, and she's considered an Eilinus regarding all matters. V'elu Hein Simoneha. Now we're dealing with the female. The following are the signs. Kol She'ein Lo Dodim. She doesn't produce breasts. Umiskashe B'shas Tashmish. And during intimacy, she experiences pain. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Kol She'ein Lo Shipule Me'ayim Kenoshim. Rashi explains Shipule Me'ayim Kemin Kaf. A kaf is ordinarily we would say it's a spoon. Here it's some type of curvature, I would imagine. If she doesn't have this lemalo me'oisim mokoim above the female gender organs, that if she lacks that shaping, so she is, according to Shimon Leo, that's a sign of eyeliness. Rav Shimon ben Elozer Omer, we continue in our source. Kol shekila ova, she has a thick or a deep voice. Ve'eno nikeres bein isha leish, and her voice is such that you can't distinguish her from a man. We continue now in the Gemara after the Tanaic source. Itmar Simone Soris, Rav Huna Omar Ad Shiu Kulam. When we speak about the signs of a Soris, and as a result of that, categorizing someone as a Soris, Rav Huna says this is not achieved until all of the above mentioned signs appear. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Afilu Be'echod Mehen. Even with the appearance of one of the signs, that would make them into a source. And we're not going to, we mention all the time the category of source. We've already seen in the recent Dapim so many different halachic ramifications of being a source that we're not repeating them now. So we're simply referring to someone categorized as a source. According to Rav Huna, it's not achieved unless all of the signs are present, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, if even one of them appears. Hecha dehevi shtei Cyrus kule alma lo pligi de ad shu kulan. The way we read the Gemara, we're reading with the according to the Gra, and he adds an explanation that where someone produced the two hairs after age 20, and that's what the Gra's approach to this Gemara is, where they produced the two hairs after age 20, then everyone would agree, it means Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan will agree, then in order to be considered a Soris, you'd have to have all the signs of Srisus. Namely, even Rav Yochanan will concede that you'll need all the signs. Ki pligi, the machlokis Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan is b'shelo hevi, where two pubic hairs do not appear. The Gemara continues. Elahadi Amar Luhu Rabo Baravua the Rabbanan. Rabo instructed the rabbis, Ainu Be Rav Nachman. Now Rav Nachman apparently was a man that didn't appear as a regular healthy male with all the different signs that one would associate with regular manhood. We're dealing on strictly on a physical level. We have to approach Gemaras like this with the utmost respect. We're dealing with one of the greatest of men of all time, Rav Nachman. But on a physical level, he didn't appear, we'll say, regular. So the Rabbah said to the Rabbona, check him out. E besoro ma lehevel, if he has that characteristic, which was one of the characteristics we mentioned in the source. You can see we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above. So if his flesh produced warmth, then Esiv le bras, so I will give him my daughter. So Rabbo Baravu was very interested in having Rav Nachman as his son-in-law, but of course only if he would be a virile male capable of reproduction. So what is Rabbo Baravua in effect saying? That with one sign of healthiness, he's considered healthy. Meaning that if he's normal in one aspect, so he's not considered a Soros. If he's normal in one aspect, so Keman Kerav Huna, is Rabbo Baravua then ruling like Rav Huna, that one is not a Soros unless all of the signs are present. All of the Soros signs are present. So should we conclude that Rabbo Baravua is ruling like Rav Huna? Lo, we're not going to conclude that. Rav Nachman Sifi Dikno Havyolei. Rav Nachman, as we mentioned before, he didn't appear, we'll say, totally normal in a manhood sense, in a male sense. However, he had Sichi Dikna. Rashi says Sichi Dikna Yisedus Azokin. The word Dikna, the Dalid, can be interchanged with a Zion. So if you do that interchange, you see that it becomes Zikna or Zokin. Yisedus Azokin. The Zokin is the beards. He had hair. Yisedos are pegs. Some type of hair stubble, klomar bekamu mekoymus avet leseir bezikano. He had facial hairs in different spots, individual hairs. That is enough to say, as we said before in the Gemara, that where you have a situation like that, the Gemara spoke about the hecho dehevi shtei Cyrus, where hairs appear. Here you have a couple of facial hairs that appeared. So everyone agrees that with even one sign of normalcy, of healthiness, he is not a Soros. Just to say that again, that in a case where you have Sifi Dikna, everyone will agree, not just Rav Huna, everyone, even Rabbi Yochanan, will agree that you'd have to have all the signs of Srisus in order to be considered a Soros. So if you have one sign of healthiness, he is not a Soros. We continue. Hasoris lo choleitz v'lo miyabem v'chein eilinis. The Mishnah that we had on Daf Ayin Tes Omid Beis, at the end of the Mishnah, or was it toward the end of the Mishnah, it said in an unqualified fashion, Hasoris lo choleitz v'lo miyabem v'chein eilinis lo choleitzis v'lo miyabemis. So, in teaching the two together, as you can see, we've dashed, underlined the key words. Kotoni, the Gemara here continues, Kotoni Soros Dumya de Eilinis. The Mishnah teaches Soros comparable to Eilinis, similar to Eilinis. Ma Eilinis Bidei Shemayim. Just like Eilinis is something that can happen only as a result of something, we'll say that Bidei Shemayim, something from heaven, meaning the girl was born that way. Af Soros Bidei Shemayim. So too, the Soros referred to here is the function of something that happened from birth, not as a result of human intervention or impact or injury. Ustamo Kerebi Akiva. You have this unnamed section of the Mishnah that parallels Rabbi Akiva. Domar Bidei Odom in. Only a Soros that's Bidei Odom, that we call Sris Odom, only he does Chalitza. Bidei Shamayim, lo. If it's a Soros Chamo, no chalitza. So that this section of the Mishnah, Soros Chamo, is that type of Soros that's born that way. Just like the Ayunis is someone born that way. And here the Mishnah is saying that the Soros is not choleitz, not miyabem. That basically means a Sris Chamo is not choleitz nor miyabem. And if you look back in the Mishnah, that's what Rabbi Akiva had said. The Sris Chamo lo choleitz velo miyabem. So this is an example of what the Gemara claims is a stamo, an unnamed section of the Mishnah, an unnamed Mishnah, which parallels Rabbi Akiva. Hasoris shecholatz liyavimtoi, lo posla. Bo'ala posla. There were two brothers, and their names Reuven and Shimon, for example. Reuven died, leaving no children, but a widow. The surviving brother Shimon was a Soros. If he, the surviving brother Shimon, does Chalitza with her, the Chalitza was basically totally unnecessary, so it doesn't render her psula, it doesn't render her unfit or disqualify this widow from marrying a Kohen. Generally speaking, a regular Chalitza, a woman who needed Chalitza, and Chalitza was done, she becomes disqualified from marrying a Kohen, similar to the idea of a Grusha, a divorcee, being disqualified from the Kuna. But a Soros doesn't need to do Chalitza in the first place. So if he does, it doesn't disqualify her. However, Bo'ala Pasla, it means if the Soros brother-in-law had intimacy with her, that does disqualify her from the Kuna, very simply because this is a forbidden form of intimacy, forbidden to the tune of Chiyuv Kores. It's a brother-in-law, Shelov Amokah Mitzvah. So the Gemara now wants to infer. Taimo de Boalahu, what is the reason she becomes disqualified from the Kuna? It's because he, the brother-in-law, had intimacy with her. And he represents a violation of a Kores level sin. However, if some outsider would have had intimacy with her, we're talking about a shomeres yavam, or a woman who was waiting to have yibum done. If some outsider happened to have intimacy with her, that would not disqualify her from the kahuna. So we continue now at the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Let us say that what our Mishnah is inferring is a refutation of Rav Hamnuna's point of view. Diomar Shemeris Yavam Shezinsa Pos Psula Liyavama. He says that a woman who's waiting for Yibum, that has relations with some outsider, it disqualifies her from Yibum. Rashi at the top says Psula Liyavama. She would be unfit to do yibum, just like a a standard married woman that has relations with some outsider, she becomes forbidden to her husband. And Rashi adds, "V'kevan de zoynahi." Since Rav Hamnuna, he parallels the shomeris yavam shizinsa to an eshesish shizinsa, that would make her as a zona. That's a halachic category. A woman who is a zona is forbidden to a kohen, and hence asur lakuna. So from Rav Hamnuna, we see that a shomeris yavam shizinsa is unfit to her, to the brother-in-law for yibum purposes. That is because she is like an eshesishin zinsa that's forbidden to her husband, and a woman like that is a zona, and a woman that's called a zona is psula lakuna. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, says that the disqualification of the yavama from becoming from eligibility to kuna is only if he, the Yavam, who's a Soris, only if he, since he's an Isur Kores, has relations with her, that, and only that, would disqualify her from the Kuna. So the Gemara says, lo, we're not going to say that our Mishnah and the inference from our Mishnah represents a refutation of Kuna. Hu hadin afilu li'acher nami. The same would apply even if she had intimacy with an outsider, she would become unfit to the Kuna. And since the earlier section of the Mishnah was dealing with, was focusing on the Yavam, it spoke about the Yavam, the, who was a Soris, where it said that the Soris, that the Chalitza that he does, doesn't disqualify her. Tana Nami Seifa B'didei. So when it spoke about the Bia, it was a Bia with him, but not to the exclusion of Bia with someone else. That too would disqualify her, and hence the Mishnah is not to be read with the inference mode as we suggested beforehand. V'chein Eilinus Shecholtzu Lo Achim, the Eilinus sister-in-law that received Chalitza Lo Pasluha, that doesn't disqualify her from the Kahuna. Ba'alua pasluha, but if she has intimacy with a surviving brother of her husband, that would disqualify her. Taimo de ba'alua. What is the disqualifying? What disqualifies her? The idleness is because of the intimacy, the forbidden intimacy. Ha lo ba'alua lo. If this idleness widow would not have been, wouldn't have had intimacy with her brother-in-law, she wouldn't be disqualified from the kuna. Keman. So this Mishnah represents whose opinion? The Loka Rabbi Yehuda. It's not like that of Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda Ha'omar, if it were Rabbi Yehuda, but he has said Eilinus Zonahi. Rabbi Yehuda categorizes an Eilinus by the mere fact that she's an Eilinus as a Zona, and hence disqualified from the kuna. Our Mishnah is not saying that. So our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. With that, we conclude our shiur, but before we do so, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.